Checking in with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy for our weekly Tacky Talk podcast. How are you, Tacky?
Doing good, Joe. Happy Tuesday, as we doing Tech Tuesday with Tacky, I guess is what we're calling it for the moment.
Yeah, Tacky Tuesday talks.
Talk to you,
Why not?
ETT.
We're just coming off a, well, it's a big day. It's opening day at Fenway Park today.
Yeah, actually, I've never been to an opening day, actually, interestingly enough. It's during the working time. So unless I schedule out, a day off or something, it's actually something I've never been to. That being said, everyone's in a good treat in the sense that you might need sunscreen in April.
I know, finally, I've been to opening days where it has snowed in years past, so this is a real treat.
It is a real treat. I mean, it's a little nippy, but the sun is very strong today. So half joking about the sunscreen, but definitely bring your sunglasses and a cap and maybe a light jacket if it gets a little cool in the afternoon. But yeah, I mean, again, this April has been a rough start. I'm hoping everyone survived the weekend well, especially those of you in more flood prone areas and your sump pumps are running overtime. And DPW in the city of Quincy continues to do very well on trying to keep up with helping people out on pump outs and keeping the storm drains clear. Obviously, you have the drains that look like they're little clogged up, definitely call DPW and have them bring the giant vacuum truck out and suck the materials out. I mean, we do our best in fall to sweep the streets, and obviously we take care of all leaves. But stuff that's blown around this year. I mean, this whole winter has been just stuff blown everywhere. So you may have had a clear drain going into the wintertime, but because just so much stuff flying over the place, there may have been debris that's probably not even in your neighborhood. That ends up probably in your storm drains next to your house.
Yep, makes a world of difference to keep those clear for sure. Do yourself a favor.
No, absolutely. If you see, some leaves and whatnot, I mean, just kick it aside or just brush it aside and make sure the water gets down quicker. It helps everyone out. And our storm drains do go to Quincy Bay, everyone. So just to remind folks, it goes to the Townbrook Marsh and it goes to Quincy Bay. So we're not part of the MWRA drainage system. Like in Boston, some of their drains go straight into the sewage system, which go to MWRA. If you add more water to the sewage system, obviously it drives up our sewage bill. So our drains go straight to the ocean. So that means don't dump toxic materials, don't leave animal waste near the drainage system. And again, if you're feeling like your area is not draining quickly, definitely call the DPW and they'll come by and take care of that. Especially now the fact that it looks like another nor'easter coming on Friday.
Yeah, of course. We get a little break here. Thankfully, it was nice for the eclipse yesterday. Did you see it?
Yeah, I was yesterday for meetings. My area, you may recall, has a retaining wall. It was my front window, but we got outside into that area and we got actually a pretty good view of the eclipse. It was directly on the west side of the State House. Let me think a second. Is that the west side? South. It's about, yeah, it's not facing south. It's the west side. So about 3:30 p.m. Yeah, that makes sense. In the west side of the State House. And I got my little box out, like tell you the news, don't look directly in the sun. And some of the staff had polarized glasses. So combination of looking into my box. See the pinprick and the dark shadow move across the pinprick, as well as borrowing some dark glasses. It was great to see the 93%-ish complete cover. And also the kind of the creepy factor is that the outside got dim fast. Birds came down to roost and some animals were a little bit weary of the situation. But yeah, I mean the last time I saw one, I think I was in middle school.
Yeah, that'd be about right, actually. I forget the actual date, but that's been a while, and it's going to be a long time going forward until there's another one around here.
Yeah, because I remember being at the U.S. Constitution for a field trip, and it was the same day as the eclipse. It was a little bit cloudy, but it was just visible enough. And it wasn't a 93%. I believe it was closer to a 60 or 50% eclipse. So we won't see another one again between 20 and 40 years, depending what part of the geography you're in. And yeah, I hope everyone got to enjoy, basically a once-in-a-generation opportunity.
Yeah, I saw just like, I don't know, thousands of people on the common there, right in front of the State House enjoying it. And we had a bunch right here at the library lawn, too.
Yeah, my eyes were a little bit uncomfortable after even using the polarized lenses. I didn't look for more than 5 seconds at a time because it really became unbearable. And I do have these lenses I wear in my glasses, you see now, are polarized, and this one is the tinting. So this one, so I'm telling you right now, I mean, ordinary sunglasses, even the polarized lenses like I wear, does not help you
No, no.
against the sun. I hope nobody took a look at it directly. It was not smart. And no, these things are designed for UV light. Actually, no, let me think. These are the reading glasses. These have the blue sides. These are my glasses you see normally out there. And these are the ones that tint. But both of them are polarized. Both of them are UV. This one is the tinting one.
And did you feel the earthquake last Friday, Tacky?
No, I did not. I was in the State House. That solid granite foundation didn't do a whole lot of vibrating. But my mom told me she felt it here in Quincy in bed.
Yeah, I felt it here at the library for sure. It was, very just a few seconds, but it was an odd feeling.
We are in an earthquake zone. People don't realize this. Many moons ago, maybe people remember there was another very slight quake that caused the rafters of the old Boston Garden to shake, which, of course, that old structure shaking is probably freak everyone out more than anything else. But yeah, we are in an earthquake zone. I went to Brandeis, as you know, out in Waltham, and or Waltham was a volcano at one time. It's a dormant volcano. It's been dormant for hundreds of thousands of years, and there's no more magma coming through this part of the state, this part of actually this part region here up in the Northeast. But it is a very, very small tectonic activity because it was once a volcanic area, hundreds of thousands of years ago. So as a result, we actually are in an earthquake zone, but a very mild one. We're not the Ring of Fire. We're very unlikely to see a 6 or 5 or 7. But it's not usually get mild earthquakes here. And I suppose, future generations, hundreds of thousands of years down the road, we'll probably see much more severe earthquakes as the tectonic shifts go around. But nothing to worry for us in the area, just more rain.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no tsunamis coming in on Wollaston Beach. We're good.
We're good. Just more rain. But we do rarely get tornadoes. We get these water spouts.
Yeah, that's been a recurring theme in the past few summers for sure, which is odd in my lifetime.
Yeah, Western Mass in those valleyed areas, not usual to see small tornadoes, but remember the one that hit Revere, I think almost 10 years now, closing
Yeah,
in.
probably.
Yeah, a half mile rip open people's roofs.
So, what is going on at the State House these days?
Well, tomorrow is the Ways and Means executive session around about noontime. The House Committee on Ways and Means do a public executive session to release their recommendation for the state budget. Pretty much every member has an opportunity to weigh in at this point. Every caucus in the place has a chance to weigh in. And I'm already getting advocate emails asking to support amendments if needed. Going to next week, ever heard a few people in government affairs, hunting for sponsors for amendments, people that will understand their client and understand and articulate their issues to Ways and Means. So, the hunt is on right now on a couple of levels on, advocacy as well as, people looking for amendments because amendments are due Friday at 5. So we
Oh,
have,
things are going to happen quickly then. Okay.
well, it's not new. I keep reminding folks. I mean, again, I've become the old guy. I mean, we used to do this on paper with 5 copies plus another 15 on the table, had to be done. No staples, paper clipped, with the boss's signature. And co-signers had to sign on to it. We couldn't co-sign after the filing deadline. And I mean, it's just different now. Everything's electronic filing, it's all cut and paste. If you don't have to get it perfect the first time, you just got to get it in. And then if the amendment is likable, we can always redraft amendment or put into consolidated amendment as redrafted. So you just got to get enough material into your amendment so we know what you're talking about. I mean, if it looks ridiculous and no one can understand what you're saying, obviously the amendment isn't going very far.
Right.
I mean, there's going to be this mad dash, getting something into the hopper, as I like to put it, on Friday before 5 p.m. electronically, because the electronic system will shut down. I remember you just had to get your foot in the door in the clerk's office, and we're going to take your amendment at 5. So the goal is to just get inside the room.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, I've done that a few times. Back when I didn't wear these better shoes that are cushioned inside, I had those old leather shoes.
Yeah.
Down the hallway, just get my foot in the door, and then you got staffers in the Senate crammed into the Senate. clerk's office with all their paper. And they had to be done correctly. I had to have the right number of copies, had to be clipped correctly, and signature papers had to be there and so forth. So, and it was the same time period. Wednesday release, Friday amendments due. We had a few situations where the budget was running late on release. We had Saturday amendments due. I've done Saturday at the State House when I was a staffer, and actually a few times as a rep now too. So, and believe it or not, sometimes you get the most work done after 5 p.m. We didn't have this laptop when I started, right? You had to use the computers at work. And we didn't have Microsoft Word. I mean, we had WordPerfect.
Yep, no, I remember those too, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get Microsoft items until much later. Those younger folks have been living on Microsoft Windows or whatever we call it now. Yeah, I still remember as Windows. Windows 3.1. So there, we didn't get those until the I think like late 1998, 99.
Sounds
So
about right, yeah.
yeah, so it's not like you could take home amendments to type them up on your home computer because I did not have a comp. I did not have WordPerfect.
Right.
So I was not going to buy WordPerfect just to do amendments at home.
Right. No, yeah, absolutely. I understand.
Yeah, so we're just handwriting stuff at home and bring it in to type. Again, we're living it. It's a different time.
Oh, these kids today, they don't know how easy they have it,
I say
Tacky.
that a lot these days. I say that a lot. And they'll look at me like someone says, "Oh, it's too hard." It's not too hard. You don't know what hard is.
But part of the budget, and you and I chatted just before we started taping this morning, is some pretty major investment in the MBTA.
Well, I do not need to repeat the MBTA's problems. You all know it. And what are the issues of significant budget short for? There is kind of this misconception that the MBTA fare system actually is able to pay the MBTA fully for the service it provides. As I always remind folks, the size of the subsidy for the MBTA would result in almost 4 to 6 times more than what you're paying for now. So your ride would be closer today, almost $15 to almost $20. It was unsubsidized, and
Right.
you had 100% pay for it in terms of the fact it won't be government subsidies. It'll be relying on its own advertising budget. And if you take away the Fed money, the Fed subsidies, I mean, you're probably closing in on $25 plus to $30.
Yeah, it would be unsustainable. Nobody would use it.
That's correct. And I think that's kind of lost in the conversation of folks is the size of the subsidy. So the challenge, of course, is that there's only so much space on MBTA. Obviously, COVID impacts, still has enormous effect depending on the time of year you're in because of different comfort levels. And also inefficiency of routes. If nobody's riding your bus but three people for a whole day, that is a waste of diesel fuel. It's a waste of electric bus. It's a waste of employee time. And MBTA has spent quite a bit of time, trimming and rearranging bus lines, even in Quincy, including the one that used to be in my neighborhood in Wallston, down by Beach Middle School. That was trimmed off because of ridership. And honestly, I expected this massive backlash, and it turned out there was none in my own neighborhood because the MBTA was correct. The ridership was so low that I didn't have like just angry people coming to my door because, I mean, I live in the neighborhood about that lack of bus service that went away over a dozen years ago now.
Wow, yeah, not enough people are using it, yeah.
That's correct. So the T has made a strong effort on optimizing the bus line. Some areas that have more moderate usage in the bus line will not be left alone. But if it's low usage, obviously people will complain a bit if it's like, very low usage and there's enough people in the area. Obviously my concern is, bus lines that, are used in areas where people don't have a lot of cars. But as I don't have to tell you all, traffic in Quincy is crazy. It's not just all pass through from point south. It is people owning cars here. I mean, people remember you only had one car in your home. Now you see four in a driveway. Yeah, what contributors to the traffic problem? I mean, people don't want to admit it, but if your home has one car per person in household, and I don't remember doing that when I was a kid, that's 4 times the traffic it was when I was a child. Yeah, you're a contributor to the traffic challenges we have.
Yes,
So.
the infrastructure is not kept up with that by any means. Yeah.
Yeah, when the rubber hits the road, it rips up the road. I mean, it literally does. I mean, you're soon to put down the new pavement. As soon as the first year's cars come over, it starts to rip up the road. Plus, you throw in the weather we have, and matter how high quality technology and asphalt eventually expands and contracts. So the investment in MBTA is actually still very important because, we want to continue to encourage ridership. Obviously, we encourage safety and ridership regarding infectious diseases, airborne, trapped in a tube, metal tube of people. But at the same time, though, the people have to be aware that the MBTA is not self-sufficient funding, and we put aside about $350 million for operational shortfall for this upcoming year. They can try to run a negative, but they can only do it for so long. And you guys already see hiring is impossible. So you always can complain about the overhires in MBTA. And I've always said that the management's always been a problem with overhires in management. But I mean, you have to hire a lot of management to create a huge shortfall. Now, people who, the boots on the ground people, nobody wants a job there. I mean, remember the days of, oh, call your representative and get your job at the T. Well, those days are long gone. Now the T is basically advertised like mad still, trying to get you to come work for them. And again, changing times of how people perceive work, right? A lot of methods like we're doing right now, as well as, people, things like Uber and, other types of independent contractor jobs didn't exist. Actually, they didn't even exist 15 years ago. So, people, young people have a different idea of how work works, and the MBTA is not the first thing that comes to your mind. So you have a work shortfall, you have a financial shortfall, but you have a huge capital improvement you need to still keep ongoing, and you have to constantly reevaluate your ridership. But on some good news, they put aside money for the ferry, which we talked about before. I'm sure you can get John and Bruce to go into more details about it. But I would like to have a ferry to the airport. It's my personal wish list to Bruce Ayres and John Keenan. So if you listen, guys, get me a ferry to the airport. It's your district.
Well, it makes perfect sense, though, with coastal community, right?
Well, I'm not Bruce's constituent, but I am John Keenan's constituent.
Special request from Tacky John.
Yes, John, that was a special request. But also, we put aside $20 million for the governor's initiative for low-income riders. We talked about this before. If you try to do a low-income rider program at the MBTA, its own budget, can't handle it. The fact we're putting $350 million in operational costs, adding a $20 million loss, has to come from somewhere. And be also mind, folks, the experiment is pretty much coming to a close for Mayor Wu's free bus rides in Boston on routes, and she was funding out of ARPA money. So I'm kind of curious how much Boston taxpayer money, I hope it's Boston taxpayer money, goes into the continuation of those routes, and it's not subsidized by the rest of us, including the operational money we're putting in. And I'm hoping the city of Boston is paying for those maintenance costs too for those buses. It's not your fares and your tax dollars doing it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's how will you be able to sieve that out?
But imitation of a separate accounting mechanism for that. And this is something that, hopefully they can give a proper accounting to the Committee on Transportation, regarding what's going on. But I mean, people kind of lost sight of, it's not like the whole buses of Boston. It's like a pilot program, a handful of routes. But I mean, I remember, Boston delegation guys are trying to convince me that, oh, you can do it self-sufficient, just fares. I looked at them like, well, you guys can take over the bus routes and see how long you guys will last. The maintenance costs alone on normal maintenance, like, I don't know, upgrading the engines, sure to maintain,
Oh
even
yeah, I mean tires alone, I'm sure, are very expensive.
yeah, and electric buses can be a lower cost in the long run, but again, electric motor has to be inspected. You're right about the tires. The tires wear down significantly faster than any other tires you use on a residential non-commercial vehicle because they never stop moving. And because of the nature of it, you have to, regularly inspect the engine. No different than you would if you're using a combustible engine. So both combustible and electric engines have to be regularly inspected. And of course, the battery factor. That's why Hertz had so much problems. We talked about earlier, Hertz gave up the electric car vehicle. They bought all these Teslas, and the CEO had to resign now because the loss they took was massive because people don't know how to drive electric cars to start with. If you've never driven one, you don't know the fact that there's no noise. When you hit the brake, it does stop like right away. It's off the pedal on the gas, there is no considered, can you know how the gas combustion engine still has a continuation of the engine running, so it kind of drifts a little. It just stops.
It's like a light switch. It's you're going or you're stopped, right? Yeah.
Yeah, electric, and I don't have electric vehicle, but I'm aware of some of these different driving styles associated with it. It handles differently, the weight is different, and people aren't kind to rental cars to begin with. So imagine doing that on an electric bus that weighs, I won't say comparable to a bus, a combustion engine bus, but I mean the battery alone, makes it similar in weight. So the battery start to shrink, which will at some point the battery technology will shrink at some point and lighten up the vehicle. So this is my little rant, as you can hear, about knowing my lack of desire to subsidize Boston programs regarding their pilot for free stuff for people.
What about the Chapter 90 funding, Jackie? Any sense for how that's going to look for Quincy?
Well, it's about $200 million in direct local aid to Quincy for city road and bridge work, but 175 set aside on top of that for municipal shovel ready and emergency funds and stuff you can't anticipate.
Oh yeah, which reminds me, the C Street project is underway.
Yeah, that's actually not part of this bond bill. The C Street is actually a series of other bond bills that I put some earmarks in, and John Keenan put some earmarks in, plus some federal money. And it became this $10 million of assembly of three or five different sources
Yeah.
that this project qualified for, and became a compilation. Actually, no city tax dollars are going into that project. Let me
Right.
remind you, that is purely a state funded project of just cobbling money together wherever they could find it. To make it work, and to I think they got a few federal loans to, on top of that to cover it. So state taxpayers on whole state is going to be subsidizing that project and adopting the bonds. As you may or may not be aware, when we do something in Quincy on state money, it's the rest of the state that's picking up the cost, not just you, Quincy, which means it's dispersed through the state and the cost. Same thing we do of other parts of the state when they have a big state project. In a community in Western Mass, you are cross-subsidizing them as well and spread the cost around the whole state. So it's kind of like this whole we help you help me, but it's not always helping each other at the same time.
Yeah.
On capital projects.
It is a
So,
commonwealth, right?
oh yeah, this is how having a big tax base works, right? Everybody kind of helps each other out in different parts of the state. And some projects are big, like $10 million for C Street is big, but you may only get like a $500,000 project for a bridge upgrade someone in Oxbridge, for example, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's not always equitable. And big surprise, the big cities tend to have more money dumped into it. Quincy is a big city for Massachusetts and New England. And as a result, we end up getting more dollars that is subsidized by the smaller communities in Western Mass in their tax dollars. So it's, people, talk about fair share, and the delegation fights very hard for our fair share. Of state tax dollars and state bond monies. But I'm always conscientious of the fact that, some of my colleagues in other parts of the state kind of look at us and moan and groan in a polite and sometimes just, poke fun at the city guy, so to speak. Just a little poke, hey, you got that stuff. What about us? So we didn't forget them in the MBTA bill. We included money for regional transportation authorities, so RTAs. So folks outside the MBTA areas do run their own city owned bus transit, limit just inside the geographic territories. Or they have regional ones, particularly once they get to central and Western Mass areas where they have regional transit that runs between towns as a shared operation among those folks.
Yep, the Cape has one as well. Yep.
And the state will provide subsidies for that. I think we're doing like $75 million, something like
It's
that.
actually 184 million.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's a huge chunk of that MBTA support project. So it's like $550 million for the MBTA. Obviously, a third, two thirds of that goes to the TI operational cost, but almost a quarter of that will
Yep.
go to the transport authority. So and we're not losing sight as a statewide public transportation issue. I know my constituents only care about the MBTA. I get it, but I mean we are state officials, so we do like to think that we are trying to help out everybody in the state at some level. So
Right. Yeah. So use your regional transit authority because you're paying for it.
that's correct. And people should feel good about trying to help out other people in other parts of the state because transportation is a universal problem that we have here. On Chapter 90, we're going to get about $1.9 plus million.
So it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah, to the city of Quincy, my calculations always have been about, $900,000 ish for $100 million. It's about add $1 million if it's $200 million dish, add another $1 million if it's $300 million ish. So it's about $200 million in Chapter 90 money. Quincy will get about 1.9 ish million dollars, which will go a long way to help the city out on shovel-ready projects.
Yep, absolutely. And this is all, proposed at this point, right? So this still needs to be reconciliation between the House and the Senate.
Yeah, I don't. I'm doubtful there'll be a huge differentiation between the House Chapter 90 funds. This is pretty much a straightforward affair. We do it over two fiscal cycles, so it'll be the upcoming fiscal cycle and the cycle afterwards. So I mean, we'll see how the Senate wants to perhaps add some outside sections, some policy map back. Whether or not some of the senators feel they need more emergency funds, particularly the weather events that have occurred in Western Mass. There's a feeling from a lot of folks, particularly in that part, they got particularly trounced on floods, that the need to have more funding, local funding, in terms of trying to address putting back their roads. I mean, some roads are like wiped out. I mean, like none, right? And they had the same thing down in the Attleboro area. The floods down there literally wiped out roads, just cleaned it, cleaned them out.
Right
So
down to dirt. Yeah, you can start from scratch. Yeah.
yeah, so I'm sure there's gonna be some more debate. We had that obviously among members in the House, but I'm sure the Senate is also looking to see if they can maybe add to the bottom of the bond bill to look at, kind of the past bad weather events to help out their local community. So I mean, we'll get this. This will get done before the close of session. Again, it's towards the next couple of fiscal cycles, not this one. So the urgency level is a little different.
Did you get your municipal aggregation letter yet here in Quincy, Tacky? Should be
I have
coming.
not. I have not. The letter's, yeah, the letter's probably in row, but I have not received mine yet. Once we get one, we can sit down and look at it together.
That's gonna be interesting. Looks like there's three different service offerings, and all three are much lower than National Grid's basic rate.
I believe the basic rate's 18.5 cents.
So then the lowest point in Quincy is gonna be like 13.7 cents per kilowatt hour. So it's pretty good savings.
But there's plenty of websites if you type in Massachusetts competitive supply to for you to compare rates, and something we're going to definitely talk more about once we get those letters in hand, and again look at some of these websites with you live, and try to see how to help you guys make some choices on competitive supply. So there are plenty of competitive supply companies, but obviously the ones that are licensed by DPU to do a comparison for you is much more helpful. And be mindful again, I'm going to repeat this again, be careful with the fine print. Just like getting cable television changes or cell phones, you have to be aware of how long is the fixed rate, is it auto renew, is there additional costs beyond just the rate you see there. I mean, there is some details that you have to be aware of. So
The early cancellation penalties could wipe out any savings that you achieved by going to a lower rate. So really got to watch those.
absolutely. See, as they read out the website, some of the cancellation fees are $150. And that may work for you depending on how low energy prices can go. If you find a new fixed rate that's, let's say, half the price, that $150 cancellation fee may be good. So again, just like cell phone prices, it's like comparing cable TV prices, introduction rate, then you have the regular rate, and then you write all these other details in the middle of a contract. So we'll see what the municipal aggregation is when I get the letter. I believe it's 18.5 cents per kilowatt is the utility rate. As you can see right off the bat, 13 cents is 13 and a half cents is still better than 18 and a half cents. So,
And the nice thing about this plan is there is no early cancellation penalty, and it's guaranteed for 42 months.
yep, and you can opt, it's an opt out, not an opt in. You have to
Opt
just
out.
opt. So, but that means you can still, well, actually, let me see the letter. There's the details in the letter are important too.
That's
So,
right. That's right.
next call we do, hopefully we'll have the letter in front of me, and we'll probably set aside 20 minutes on that alone to walk you all through this.
Yeah, actually, the city's hosting a meeting about it April 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Kennedy Center. Folks want to ask questions.
Well, I mean, they should do this on QATV and do like a PowerPoint.
Well, we're going to try and be there live for that. But if not, we'll certainly record it and play it back as soon as we can.
Yeah, one of the nice things about doing it this medium, YouTube slash QATV, you can put PowerPoints up as on the screen as you're having this conversation and kind of walk people through it. Hopefully it is like a PowerPoint. I try to keep it simple for folks, as you can tell. But yeah, let's see what the details are. So this is exciting, the opportunity to have a 42-month fixed rate, and I'll tell you the pros and cons of that once once I see the letter in totality.
Okay, good. I look forward to that for sure. It's not new. It's like 170 cities and towns in the state are already doing it. Boston's been doing it for a long time, I know.
Yeah, Lowe has been as well. But again, at the end of the contract, you have to start over again. But during the 42-month period, anything can happen on competitive supply rates. So if you're coming in on, a certain amount of time, again, you might lose on the law of averages, right? Energy is a wave, and the goal is to try to beat the wave as often as possible because you're sitting on a fixed rate. So there's no guarantee that that you're going to beat the rate every time, and it's not about beating it today. It's about a long-term average.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to put up a big giant windmill in my backyard and call it a
I'm sure the zoning board will have a lot of fun with
day.
that.
I'm sure they'll have something to say about that.
You need about a 60 to 100-foot windmill to get good power
Oh, well.
at your residential property.
I'll sell some back to the town. They'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, you could have some small ones. You've seen these kind of like rooftop small ones.
Oh, yeah. I have seen those. Yeah.
They have to blow just right to turn the turbine inside those, and you generate some power, but is it going to power your house at like 500 kilowatts? Probably not, but it can offset some of your electrical costs in small appliances.
Exactly. Yeah, some of your electronics maybe or non-motorized appliances, yeah.
Yeah, solar is still the way to go. If you got a lot of space for solar, you can, particularly when you're not home, you end up selling that power back to the grid. Again, it's a huge upfront cost. Solar panels are getting cheaper because, honestly, Chinese cheap solar. I don't know if you guys were watching the news, but Chinese cheap solar, they're exporting cheap cars and cheap solar globally. Those solar panels. The problem is they're undercutting local market solar manufacturers.
Oh.
Residential solar in particular is very dependent on interest rates because most people will take a loan out to put solar panels up or get solar panels as part of new home construction.
Yeah, I know the Treasury Secretary was trying to change that or stop that.
Yeah, it's a different kind of trade war. We're not looking at like cheap electronic goods or cheap clothes. We're looking at cheap solar panels. And since there's a mandate in many states and countries to go to renewable power over X number of years, depending where you are, 2030, 2035, 2040, I mean, depending on where you are in the world, solar is integral as part of that larger diversified energy supply. It's not just renewable, it's diversified, I think is the way to put it. And every country has a different diversification. It is not apples and apples, folks. Every state and every country has different diversification of power as they try to achieve their climate goals. So, the Chinese market is, dropping very cheap solar panels on a global level, undercutting local manufacturing of solar panels, which is going to cause basically economic impact on race to the bottom on prices. And the Chinese can do it because of massive government subsidies. They're basically state-owned companies I mean, you give the size of subsidies we're talking about, they're basically state-owned companies. So their tax dollars are subsidizing those to export to other countries to try to get money back to drive up their GDP, which is stagnated. Another place they're doing is cheap electric cars. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Tesla's getting its butt kicked in China now because, we've heard this before, buy American, right? We always encourage buy American products. Big surprise. Other countries like the locals to buy their local products. Be duh, right? I mean, people have this like misconception in America, like, oh, buy American. Well, you don't think other countries are saying buy local too? I mean,
Of course, yeah. If they make them in their country, they want their people to buy them, sure.
exactly. Support local business in your own country, right? That's a universal message in every country, not just uniquely us. So, obviously, the government in China is pushing to buy local. And again, they subsidize the electric car prices down to a te under $10,000.
Wow.
And we know a Tesla runs for 50 to 60 before
Right.
government
Yeah, which
assistance.
one are you going to buy, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've already in foreign markets. You go to South America, you're finding a lot of Chinese cars. And they're electric, and they're a fifth of the price of a Tesla. And Tesla's got a problem. And they can't figure out their pricing structure in China. They can't figure out their pricing structure outside the United States. And even with our tax credits to subsidize people buying electric cars, it's not going to be able to compete an electric car That's $10,000 or less. And even if you make 100% tariff on Chinese electric cars, that still only gets you to about $20,000. Still half a price, more than half a price off of a Tesla.
Right.
So, I mean, this is going to be an interesting observation on how this works, plus the fact that Canada and US has a low tariffs or no tariffs regarding shipping goods in and out of those countries that they're manufactured in those places. So you make something in Mexico, made in Mexico, by any company in Mexico, the tariff system is lower or none, depending on the goods. And you can actually get foreign suppliers to go through Mexico or Canada to the United States. Conversely, it's the same thing. If you build something in the US, you can get your supplies into Mexico and Canada as well. So if you're a manufacturer of, let's say, wooden tables in Indiana, I'm just making stuff up now, you can get it to Mexico with minimal tariffs.
Interesting. So do you think we'll
Conversely,
see?
yeah, you're going to see, you're going to say what I was going to say. You're right. You're going to see a country's going to onshore into North America, will be US, Canada, or Mexico, and then start moving their goods into the United States that way, because we are still the most wealthy and biggest consumer market in the US, I mean, in the world when it comes to purchasing power by individual, because we have a smaller population by China, but we have more money per capita.
Okay, stay tuned for that. That'll be a challenge for the next administration for sure.
I mean, that's challenge for the next three administrations. I mean, you can't just build it like any plant like overnight. I mean, it takes 3 years to build a new plant. Plus, Mexico has to build out an infrastructure associated with that plant. So it's not like I'm just gonna build a plant. Well, you got no electricity, water, and sewer, then it really defeats, you can't put one up. So, the Mexican government has to figure out how to do massive infrastructure if they want this type of economic development. And as I learned, when I was in Southern California and San Diego last time, I was there for a conference. A lot of people live in Southern California, living in Northern Mexico.
Really?
Yeah, property is cheap, and you have the Sentry program, so Southern Californians can go back and forth at will. Traffic is a nightmare. It's the busiest border crossing in the United States. It's the Tijuana crossing. So they have three access points down there. But it's, yeah, a lot of Southern Californians live or work in Mexico. And I think this is the kind of thing people in the Northeast don't think about, because we're not really a border state. But if you're anywhere in the Southwest, going through Texas, a lot of people pass back and forth. A lot of Americans work in next door because American companies are in Mexico.
Interesting. Speaking of Chinese companies, what do you think about this ban on TikTok, Jackie?
I mean, it's not going to make a big difference in a larger scheme of things. I mean, the Indians have managed to pull it off somehow, but in between virtual protocol networks, the VPNs, you can bypass it, and it doesn't ban you having TikTok on your phone. It bans feature updates, so you can have TikTok, but because of nature of these phones and operating systems, you're constantly getting updates. I mean, I'm updating like every 2 days or every day. At some point, on simple things like bostonglobe.com or any number of games, or any variety of apps. So what it does is the following things. It bans the app providers from providing updates to the app. You already have the app. You can still use it until the update doesn't, you don't have any more updates, it doesn't work anymore. If you want to operate in the US, TikTok has to sell the entire operation to a domestic company. Problem with that is that people think it's the user data list is the most important part. It's actually the algorithm, the AI so-called component. All the social media networks, whether it be, Amazon platform or Facebook, or it doesn't matter. You guys use any app out there, there is an algorithm of some form, all of them. And they basically, but people just buy someone else's because you can't make your own. But the big social media companies have their own proprietary algorithms. And they're all similar because they're all trying to accomplish the same thing versus for the purposes of marketing. And
Trying to
then
sell you stuff, basically.
try to sell you stuff by watching certain stuff, right? So, I mean, TikTok's algorithm is very, very good, which is why it's very successful. And that algorithm is not going to get sold. I do not see that company selling its intellectual
Oh,
property.
so they just come up with something else.
Yeah. And people are always like, oh, it's Chinese influence in TikTok, Chinese government influence on Americans and people around the world. Well, I mean, remember a lot of the election tampering was on Facebook, everyone? I mean, the Department of Justice during the Trump administration concluded that it was the Russian influencing on places like Twitter and Facebook, not TikTok. that was doing interference. So you think the Chinese government's going to solely rely on one app to do that? Of course not. I mean, anyone listening would have some degree of common sense here that says if you're going to influence someone to buy Lululemon, tights, sweat clothes, exercise clothes, you're going to hit all the social media. If you're going to witness, if you're going to election tamper our elections, you're going to hit all the social media.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you want
So,
as many people as possible, right? Yeah.
yeah, you're going to Instagram the living out of it, right? You're going to Instagram the living out of it, right? So, that's kind of the myth here on TikTok. I do think this is the data TikTok, it'll be accessed by China because they have a national security law. National security law in China, in summary, it's a convoluted law, but the bottom line is that if a company does business in China, it doesn't matter where they're in the world, and Chinese government wants that data, you got to hand it over or they're going to arrest you.
Okay.
It's as simple as I can explain it. They'll arrest you if you don't hand over your stuff when they ask for it, the Chinese government. So that's the fear of TikTok, is how much they're going to hand over. And TikTok can delete when it needs to delete. That's not the big deal. But they are technically a Chinese company because the mothership company is in China, but it's incorporated in Singapore, which is not a Chinese country. Singapore is an independent nation. It's kind of this real convoluted corporate situation where you got the big mothership shell. A company was the majority shareholder, but the actual corporation is in Singapore. Their servers are in Texas and Canada. It's a corporate. It's not uniquely done, by the way. This is all corporations on a multinational level. It's a little more complex than people realize because some countries won't let you come in unless you incorporate in their country,
I
as,
see.
because you're not subject to their laws if you're not incorporated in the same. It's a mess. Okay, just leave it at that, folks. Multinational companies are messy. But TikTok is not used in China. It is not a China product used in China. So that's actually kind of funny there.
That's
If
interesting. I didn't know that.
yeah, if the Chinese want to data mine, or the Russians want to data mine, or anybody wants to data mine the US, I mean, you don't need to use TikTok. You can data mine like Lowe's does or bank. I mean, it's like any other big corporation. You can data mine like everyone else. I mean, the amount of stuff you all put on Facebook and Twitter, it's not like they can't find an AI to data mine everything you guys put on a public website.
Right.
You don't need to go in. People have this misconception, you need these people to sell your stuff. Your stuff's already out there. So yes, they can buy materials, on a spreadsheet and aggregate about how many people buy pet food in Massachusetts, right? They can get that kind of data. But they can get, credit reporting companies will give out macro data on what the per capita income is in the state, right? Or a zip code. But I mean, how do you think the Russians, able to do it, Rush election influences? Because all your public data on your Facebook accounts are out there. So they know what you're thinking, so they can message towards you that you want to hear, so they can influence how you think.
Oh, I say it all the time. Google knows more about me than the government does.
Well, the amount of public information you put out there is astounding. Right. I mean, every time you post, I go to this restaurant, now people know your cuisine type. Well, now you attract the fact that, there's an algorithm out there that's combing social media websites, particularly, nefarious actors overseas, hackers and adversarial governments.
Yeah, absolutely. They just put two and two together, essentially, if you're looking up cat food, then you have a cat.
Well, I mean, then they can target advertising for you. So, they can say, tacky is bad, and incorporate like, I hurt animals
Right.
because they know you're an animal lover. So, I mean, they're like, tacky murders cats, and you may believe it.
Well, this is the scary part, yeah. Without doing any checking, people just believe what they see.
Yeah, and you can, given the technology moves so quickly, hackers and adversarial governments can create these messages, targeting you on a hobby. Like, let's say you're an avid skier and they want to bash a candidate or bash a corporation or bash, public policy. They can craft, advertising targeted towards you, whether it shows up as part of new feeds using a fake bot thing, which is, Facebook and Twitter are constantly fighting off bots. To through a post, through a friend's post, this comes up where they have, the side advertising that shows something about you, your hobby, and a messaging associated to hobby. You're attracted to it because you like it, because that's what you like. And if you like it, you're going to be more likely influenced by what's there. If you don't like it, it's lower probability of being influenced, even if it's factually correct. This is kind of how funny our minds work, right? I mean, we all gravitate to things we like, not we don't like. So, yeah, people are under the impression that TikTok is a national security threat. Yeah. I mean, under the US, under the Chinese, national security law, yeah. But I mean, I want to remind folks, the election interference stuff was not done through TikTok. It was done through Facebook and Twitter and other social media accounts. It was not TikTok. And just like Lululemon, trying to sell you their clothes, it's not like foreign adversaries and hackers can't figure it out themselves. And like I said, given how technology works and ability to generate AI, and you've seen fakes already popping over the internet, including deep fake voicemails. Be very cautious on, hearing a relative say that, you've been kidnapped, give me money. They say that because people do record themselves in video, like we are doing right now. It is public domain. You have my voice. Whether you can catch all my mannerisms, you don't need to. If you hear me talk, you guys know I have a bit of a stutter. You guys know that, I kind of ramble. You guys know that I can just yank random facts. You guys know I have strange pauses. You've heard me enough times. But I mean, you can AI that. Whether they can AI all of it, probably. But do they need to AI all of it?
Yeah, no, they don't. No, they can. I mean, they can weave together whatever they want, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if you're only doing like a 20-second clip of either one of us, you don't need to wave in all my mannerisms. You just need to get the job done.
Yeah,
And
just enough to convince somebody that it's really you.
you can do this at home now.
Oh, yeah.
And some celebrities do allow people to use their image to promote items because it's easier for them to do AI recordings rather than them actually showing up in the studio. So they do some initial recordings in the studio, then they lend their voice, and then they AI the remainder for short clips, and then that's how they can get residuals. Doesn't happen in the US. It probably does at some level, but this is actually unusual in foreign countries where you have local celebrities. Making money off their image, through this voiceover slash AI slash imaging stuff on short ads. And you've probably seen on YouTube as well, we have these like kind of awkward looking people, making promotions. I'm sure you've all got ads on your phone, app, free app ads, these awkward things. So yeah, I mean, what I'm getting at, folks, is that with today's technology, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying you have to be a little more cautious. They're gonna push out advertising and bots that appeals to you to convince you of what they want.
Yeah, so just be leery of whatever you receive unsolicited.
Well, as I reminded by Michael Morrissey a very, very long time ago, sometimes the best ideas aren't yours.
That's true. Although you may think they are.
That's correct. I've more than once in my lifetime, particularly in the world of public policy, and I have folks that come up, quite frankly, a better argument than mine, and I adopted their ideas, even those that they were contrary to my thought process. And I've had more than one time discover that times change, and what I thought was 20 years ago is not applicable both today. And then, I'm constantly have to learn new things because I have to discard. What I learned 20 years ago. I used this on substance abuse all the time. Substance abuse during the 80s and 90s when I was a child is different substance abuse today.
Yeah,
Like
oh, for sure.
OxyContin was not a thing, in 1990.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a whole different world in that realm for sure. Yeah. And now, the war on drugs now is a little skirmish.
Well, I mean, you have social media again, teach you how to use substance abuse issues. I mean, people had a criticism against the DARE program many, many moons ago because they think it's a way of teaching children how to use illicit substance or alcohol. And nowadays, you don't have to learn this in school. You can learn in the medium we're using now, right? And this is just the changing times. Like, again, repeat, I mean, what I learned in 1990 doesn't apply in 2024.
Right. Yeah, don't reinvent the wheel, right? If somebody's doing it better, go for it.
Yeah, and the wheel will sometimes be a different wheel. So, like I said, I'm not trying to scare you all. I really ain't. I'm just pointing out the fact that technology is moving super quick. this AI thing is legitimate. And foreign adversaries and government, I mean, forget the political parties here. I mean, foreign influencers are going to be a big deal. And, you all may think, well, we can do that to them. Not in closed societies. China does not have Facebook, they do not have an open internet. And the Russians do not have an open internet either.
Right,
So,
so the government wants them to know is what they'll see.
yeah, and for let's say you all, oh, the CIA can do counterintelligence. Yeah, they can't. It's just really, really hard because the Chinese censors will shut you down really, really fast. With AI, they can shut you down faster. So if we let's say you want to, use US propaganda in China, it's very, very difficult. Because by the time you post, it goes down. And we saw that during COVID. AP, CNA, other Chinese reporters have the local social media Weibo to watch what's going on in COVID folks. And the guy who found COVID, passed away in China, the original doctor. And there was all this stuff about how the government has treated him and all that, and how they didn't listen to him. And then all those posts went away like quickly, and it wasn't for snapshots by media, foreign media that's in China. We wouldn't know these posts actually existed because they take them down so quickly. And the advent of artificial intelligence, and new algorithms, they can find these things quicker and get them down faster. So as much as we can talk about what we see in social media, we still are a First Amendment country, whether I agree or disagree with you. But we're not a $1.2 billion, I'm sorry, 1.2 billion people nation.
Anything coming up in the district to tell folks about, Jackie?
Well, we have the Democratic City Committee caucuses reorganization this Saturday. Thank you to my good friend Alicia Gardner for 14 years of service as the chair of the Democratic City Committee. Alicia is a very old friend of mine for many, many moons before she was even the chair of the Democratic City Committee. So we'll be holding elections this Saturday morning. I believe it's a 9:30 doors open situation at Quincy High School. Saturday the 13th, I believe. And we'll also be electing a city committee ward chairs for the six wards. So obviously it's only for city committee members, the members that were elected on the presidential primary ballot. You said a list of like 35, almost 35 people, depending what ballot you had. Those are the members of the Democratic City Committee if you pulled a Democratic ballot. Hopefully those that actually are from the city committee listening, you now know when the org meeting is. And I do encourage people on the city committee to go to this real excuse me excuse me reorganization meeting. Your local elected officials like myself will be there. And congratulations to Sandy Callahan Merrick and Joel Bruno de Vera on being our Democratic State Committee man and State Committee woman at the Democratic State Committee. So they'll be there. Well, I know Joel's there. Sandy will most likely be there as well. Another couple old friends of mine, actually. Politics is like a weird circle of friends, right? And then we'll see how that turns out. Obviously, Patriots Day is coming up. So everyone, please have a safe and fun Patriots Day on the 15th, and Tax Day is the day after. Just to remind everybody, Tax Day is coming up. And we said this before, Emancipation Day, I believe, is the 16th. So the Fed taxes are delayed. Don't wait till last minute, folks. Just get them in. Tax Day is rolling around, or apply for an extension. And then what's the 20th? I'm trying to remember what I'm doing on the 20th that night. There's something going on. Oh yeah, the Asian American Pacific Islander Commission's committee, UMass Boston, for the annual dinner on the 20th. So I'm guest speaking there. Actually, I'll be in Springfield on Friday. I'm guest speaking at a fair housing conference. My friend at the United States Equal Opportunity Office, the people that enforce civil rights laws and employment. I'm guest speak, so I'm going to go down there and hope for the best that we attack him. We'll see what Tacky actually says. We can hope for the best, Joe. What else is going on? Obviously, we've been busy with the budget for the remainder of the week. And the Passover is on the 22nd, so that's coming up. So April is shaping up to be a pretty active month.
Yeah, for sure. I guess you won't be running the marathon, Jackie.
I'll be running for office, but not for marathon.
That'll be a marathon in itself.
Are you running for office in a marathon? And in Stados, news in person's perhaps leaving Stados, retiring. I think we may be done. It's April 9th right now. I mean, people still can get nomination papers. It's not like you can't. I mean, people can still get it done. But people who are looking to leave office, we may get one more. I mean, the rumor mill is kind of active still, but I think we may be done on reps and senators leaving the state house at this point. I may be surprised. There's a couple of more folks which I won't disclose that's in my head. It's a possibility of, heading towards, retirement. And many people have well deserved retirement given the number of years of public service they put in. But we'll see. There's still a couple more weeks to see if there's more shakeups in the House and Senate.
Okay. This is the point in the program where you give out all your contact information.
Yeah, talk to Joe.
Let's see. 617-722-2370. 617-722-2370. Tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. What's your social media stuff?
We do have State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook. We do have at Tacky Chan on X. We again discourage people from reaching out through social media. Please email or call us. We have malegislature.gov, which is the state's website. You don't even have to talk to me sometimes. You can actually find stuff on the state website. I'm sorry, the legislature website, mass.gov is the wet state website. So you can, search for the stuff there as well as reach out on the legislature's website. We did have a public hearing yesterday, so you can watch my very short public hearing under Joint Rule 10. I actually have to have a public hearing or some kind of public thing for public comment and to dispense a bill in 30 days. So I have one bill that's out there that I got to figure out what to do with my co-chair. Side again, tacky side notes. We do have tackychain.org, which is strictly a resource page. And then we always encourage people again to listen to Joe in the Morning and QATV, as well as watch us here. And if there's any specific topics that you want Joe to talk about, definitely reach out to QATV and we'll let Joe decide what to incorporate into the Surprise Tacky New Questions Day.
Yes, I haven't heard from anybody yet, but I'm always open.
Yeah, I encourage it. I don't mind
Me
creating.
too.
Yeah, creating work for Joe is fine with me. So if you guys want to help me out here and make Joe work harder, I mean, go right ahead, folks.
They're more than welcome
Yeah,
to send an email, and I'll be sure and file it in the appropriate place.
not my show. It's Joe's show. As much as I feel like I'm co-opting a podcast. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Joe would like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from Joe what people hear from you. And the reason's because, as we talk about all the time, audience feedback is very important. And, I'm very thankful QATV to allow me the opportunity to come on for about, 30, 40, hour sometimes to talk about whatever Joe wants to talk about. And sometimes I have my little divergence during the conversation.
That's right. It's a give and take.
It's unscripted. This is what happens. I mean, and this is uncensored. I mean, I cough a few times, but hey, that's what happens.
Well, I mean, the nice thing is we get to respond, immediately to current events. So that's one benefit for doing it this way.
Especially in a weekly show.
Yeah.
We can catch up and very quickly on stuff, and also it's kind of fresh in memory. Yeah, like I say, you get honest reaction and from both of us.
Right, exactly. Thanks so much, Jackie.
You take care, Joe.